I'm with Jackson Bevins, and you're listening to Deep Balls. It's a new podcast aimed at doing NFL picks each week. We're doing straight up picks every week. In addition, we're going to have two or three games that we pick out to talk about for against the spread type analysis. Jackson did a very popular column at Field Goals a couple years ago that he where he would pick games against or he would pick games straight up. Did really well, you know, won a lot of people's, their office pools. That's kind of the goal here is to, you know, give you some insights, help you win your office pools, make you hopefully a smarter fan, and just kind of make the games more enjoyable as the week, as the weekend comes around. So anyways, I'm going to just go ahead and say hi to Jackson. Jackson, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm really looking forward to this. I really enjoyed doing the picks articles for those, I think, 3 years that we did it. And I'm excited to get back into it through this podcast.
Just for a little background in establishing your credentials, do you remember what you got last year? Did you do a picks or did you pick on ESPN's Pick'em League thing?
You know, it's funny. Last year is the first year that I didn't do it in a long time, but I'd done it for a number of years before that. And I definitely missed doing it. So I'm really eager to continue.
And now you finished somewhere in the top, like, ridiculous amount nationwide, right, when you were doing it, I think, in 2013. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, actually, all three seasons that I did it for Field Goals, I never finished outside of the top 2% nationwide on ESPN's Pick'ems. And, you know, Vegas always does very well in terms of setting their lines. And the favorites win very high percentage of the time. They're very good at figuring out those lines, but took a lot of pride in the fact that I had a better record than Vegas each of those years as well.
Nice. So as you listen to the podcast, keep in mind that Jackson is the expert. I watch a lot of football, but I'm not as well versed in betting lines. So, you know, I finished, I think, right in the middle in SB Nation's Pick'em last year. I'm looking to really improve on that. I think I did a lot of research last year and kind of improving on that, and talked to some people I trust, including you, about kind of like some ways of going about it. And so I did a lot better in the second half of the year, and I'm hoping to really improve on my record from last year. So without further ado, why don't we just get into the games and kind of just break them down, and you know, this is episode one, so we're going to kind of try to feel it out, but we'll kind of try and bust through them too quickly, because I have the feeling if we really spend a lot of time on all these games, it'll be like an hour and a half.
I mean, that article used to take 4.5-5 hours to write. It's crazy when you try and like make arguments for and against 32 teams.
Exactly. So we can just try and bust through them today, and if it ends up being too short, then that's fine, and we'll kind of spend more time on it next week, but let's just kind of try and do this quickly. First game on the docket starts tomorrow. It's a good one. It's Pittsburgh at New England. Obviously, the Steelers are missing Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant. The Patriots are with Tom Brady, funnily enough, and they are actually missing their starting center. Brian Storkey got placed on the IR to return earlier on today. So first off, let's just hear, Jackson, what do you think? What's your pick for this game, and give me a little insight as to why.
Well, you know, I really like both of these teams this year, especially with Brady not getting the suspension. I think that keeps New England right in that upper tier of the NFL this year. But I actually have Pittsburgh as, you know, one of the two teams in the AFC Championship this year. I really, really like them this season. I think that they just have a tremendous amount of offensive clout. I think that the defense will get better. And there's a lot of guys that are right at or near the top of the profession at their position. And teams that have that kind of collection of talent, top-end talent, are kind of slump-proof in that sense. Pittsburgh had an atrocious defense last year, and they still finished, you know, with a wonderful record, made the playoffs. You know, they're a team that can do a lot of things. That said, without Le'Veon Bell, without Martavis Bryant, those are two of those guys that can really flip a game with one or two big plays on their own. And it being in New England with Brady there, Gronk fully healthy, I just don't see Pittsburgh opening up with a win. I still think they finish with a better record and go further in the playoffs, but I'm giving this one to New England.
All right, and there you have it. And I actually picked the Patriots as well. Many of the same reasons in my logic. I think that without Le'Veon Bell, that's kind of a big deal for the Steelers. We saw kind of what happened with them in the playoffs when Le'Veon Bell was missing. They kind of, you know, I'm actually, you can look for an article tomorrow from me on Bell. He was one of the biggest bell cow backs in the NFL last year. He was only behind DeMarco Murray in the amount of his percentage of the team's rushing yards. He finished with 78% of their rushing yards. He had 80% of their rushing TDs. He had 17.8% of their receiving yards, which is a lot for a running back that's second only to Matt Forte in the whole NFL, and way above, you know, the rest of the guys. Marshawn Lynch was third with 11%. So,
and that's amazing, because that's not a team that doesn't have wide receivers either. I mean,
right.
He's a got Brown and Bryant, and, you know, I mean, there are guys to throw to.
Yeah. I mean, their receiving core is probably one of the better cores in the NFL, and they've had, you know, they've drafted all these ridiculously awesome receivers over the years. So yep. I have no doubt that they'll kind of figure out, some of their young guys will figure it out again. So yeah, like I said, he's over a third of their offensive output from last year in terms of scrimmage yards. So losing him is kind of a big deal. You know, they can obviously do other things, and they still have Antonio Brown, and that's huge. But I think when you're trying to replace that big of a piece of your puzzle, it's just not going to look quite as good. So that's why I picked the Patriots in this one. And we'll come back to this game probably at the end when we talk about the line. But let's go ahead and move on to the Sunday games. First up on the docket, the Seahawks and Rams. What do you got in this one?
I think this is a really dangerous game for Seattle. It's been my experience that the most difficult week of the season to pick is week one. It's the type of week where you can win your office pool with 11 wins. You don't need the 13 or 14 that you will later in the season. Just because there's so many unknown quantities, so many changing parts, injuries, trades, retirements, all of that stuff. And yeah. So many of these teams, the first teams have played less than a complete game together. You know, less than four quarters of actually having the first teams on the field together. And it just takes a little time for that to click. I think the positional group where time together matters the most is offensive line. I also think that happens to be Seattle's weakest positional group. Their opponent, the St. Louis front seven, is probably their best positional grouping. That defensive line and linebacker combo is really potent. And so I think there could just be a ton of issues for Seattle, mm-hmm. looking very discombobulated in this one. I expect Russell Wilson to be under a lot of duress. And that leads, as we saw last year in St. Louis, which Seattle's always had a really hard time winning in, that kind of constant pressure leads to a lot of mistakes. And it's not going to take as many fluke plays as it did for the Rams last year to beat the Seahawks. So Seattle's going to have to be really good. That being said, I think that they're a lot better in a lot of areas. I think Russell Wilson will have a weapon in Jimmy Graham, and also, honestly, in Tyler Lockett that he's never had in his career. And I think that's going to change things a lot. I do think it's a good offensive line in terms of talent. It's just the cohesion that's going to suffer. So there's going to be some bad plays, but there's going to be some good plays too. I think that this year we may see the best Seahawks defense we've seen, to be completely honest with you. Yeah. Won't be that case until Cam gets back. But even without Chancellor, I mean, this is the deepest D-line. There is an incredible amount of individual talent in that front seven. And, I mean, when you start talking about the Legion of Boom being the weakest positional group on that defense, you're talking about, like, a really, really sensational group of players. So, you know, I do think that the overall top-to-bottom talent of Seattle is enough to win the day, but I think we might be sweating this one also.
Yeah, I think that's I could probably say that every single week, honestly, but I think especially this week, I hate that they're playing the Rams week one.
In St. Louis, I hate it.
Yeah, it's just a really shitty scheduling quirk, I guess, for this year. I'd almost honestly rather have the Packers in week one. But anyway, so I picked the Seahawks as well. I agree with a lot of everything you're saying there. I think special teams last year was a disaster in St. Louis, and they still almost won it. And I think the Seahawks are going to have really good special teams this year. They got all their guys, all their core special teamers back. You know, Pete Carroll was talking about how Jeff Fisher's special teams are always really complex and annoying and complicated. So I think they're really going to be ready for whatever he kind of throws at them this year. Obviously, you can't be ready for some crazy ass surprise play, but I think that their discipline, they're just going to be a lot more disciplined and kind of, you know, you're not throwing in guys that haven't really been practicing like they did last year at St. Louis when Derek Coleman broke his foot in warmups. So, So basically, I agree with you. I think the offensive line is going to be terrible against this defensive line. I think even if we are starting one of our better offensive lines over the last couple of years, they would still suck against this defensive line. I think this defensive line in St. Louis is extremely good. So the Seahawks are going to have to do some things. They're going to have to, you know, do a lot of bootlegging, run the read option as much as they can, and be successful. Yeah, exactly. I think if you look at I saw this tweet today. I didn't confirm it, but I think in the last two matchups with St. Louis, I want to say Marshawn Lynch had a total of like 78 yards rushing. So I think the Seahawks are going to have to get it done in the air this week, and I think they can. So ultimately, bottom line, they're going to sweat. This game is going to be stressful as hell, but I think the Seahawks are going to win it. So moving on, this next one's a little more cut and dried, I would guess, but it could be interesting. Green Bay at Chicago. What do you got here?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I think that has helped me be really successful over the last few years picking games is not getting too cute. definitely trust your gut sometimes, and if you think you see something that the line isn't telling you, that's okay to go with it. But you know, this isn't going to be a show where you get a lot of zany picks and trying to, you know, prove ourselves some weird upset just for the sake of doing it. We're here to help you win money, and
don't complain about us picking the favorites.
Yeah, we're gonna pick plenty of upsets over the course of the season, but like I said, there's a million other places you can go for quirky picks. This is designed to win, and when it comes to Green Bay versus Chicago, don't get cute. This is Green Bay. You know, it is so rare to see a full touchdown spread on the road in the NFL. It's something that, you know, only happens a handful of times throughout a season. And so when you see one, just take it. Green Bay is that much better than Chicago, even without Jordy Nelson. We have no idea what the identity of the Bears is going to be now that Trestman's gone. Brandon Marshall is gone. They don't even know if Alshon's ready to go, at least last I heard. So I think it's Green Bay, and it could get ugly.
To clarify, are you looking at Bovada's line right now, or what line do you look at?
You know, I go off of Football Locks, which takes an aggregate.
Okay. I want to look that up, too, as we talk here. I have Green Bay as well. I think, you know, this one's pretty clear. You know, like you said, there's a lot of questions in Chicago. New coaching, new coordinators, new personnel. They're having some injury issues. Green Bay, on the other hand, have a ton of continuity based on, you know, the same system's been in. They have the best quarterback in the NFL. They obviously lost Jordy Nelson. That's a concern, but I think that's pretty much the only concern at this point. So, I'm going with Green Bay. That one's kind of an easy one. I just logged on to footballlocks.com. Is that what you said it was?
Yep.
So that's what I'm going with. I'm running down this now. The next game on the docket is an interesting one for sure. It is Kansas City at Houston right now. You know, we're not doing against the spread for all these games, but right now the line is Houston's favored by one. So what do you think on this one?
Yeah, I've seen Houston anywhere from one to two today. And, you know, I like Houston a lot better this year. But I do think some of that money is Hard Knocks residual. We always fall in love with the Hard Knocks team. And going in, we see all the great players and plays that happened in an NFL training camp, and I think we kind of fall in love with it a little bit and say, wow, how can anyone ever stop that? And you realize that every team's got those guys. And so I do like Houston this year. I don't love them. I'm close to loving Kansas City. I also think Kansas City has a much more established identity than Houston does. I don't see where they got any weaker in the offseason, but they added Jeremy Maclin, and they're getting Eric Berry back. Those are two Pro Bowl caliber players. And then, of course, with all the other talent, Charles and Kelsey and Houston and on and on. Say what you want about Alex Smith. He'll never lose you a game, and you surround him with a lot of individual talent and a good coach in Andy Reid.
Yep.
I think the Chiefs can be very, very good this year. And I do have them pulling off the upset, going into Houston and winning.
I was looking at this game, and I was really confused because I was just like, why is Houston favored? I just didn't really understand it. So I picked Kansas City as well. Many of the same, you know, reasons. We kind of see eye to eye on all three of these, four of these picks so far. But Kansas City, established system, quarterback. They got a new weapon, but it's also an old weapon because he's Macklin's experienced in Andy Reid's system. I mean, it already looks like it's paid off for them the way he played in the preseason. Obviously, you can't judge too much, but he looked really good. They look like they're going to have no problem getting him involved and being a big playmaker for them. And then, like, pairing Maclin and Jamaal Charles in the same offense, I think has a lot, like, that could be really kind of fun to watch. I just think they can do a lot of things that are kind of, you know, very much like taking advantage of matchups and things like that. So, and then, yeah, add in Kelsey into the tight end, you know, and, like, all three of these guys are intermediate level, like, factors, you know, like Macklin's very much a yak guy. Like, he's like make plays in the open field. He's pretty much like what we wanted Percy Harvin to be for them. And I think, you know, obviously we've seen what Jamaal Charles can do. And then Kelsey just seems like he's just an ascending superstar. So I like Kansas City a lot. I like their defense a lot. I think they're going to be putting Brian Hoyer on his ass all day. I think, you know, that's just going to be really difficult for Houston to move the ball. I don't think I mean, they were 9-7 last year, and they, I think, overachieved a little bit because they had a really, really good defense. But without Arian Foster, without Andre Johnson, I think it's just going to look a little different. And I just don't think that they're going to move the ball well against Kansas City. And I think Kansas City is going to win this one. So this is another game that eventually we're going to come back to and talk about at the end of the thing, but let's move down the line. The Browns at Jets, the most exciting game of the weekend by far. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those. So when it comes to setting a line, Vegas essentially spots the home team 3 points. And there's a few teams where it's different. I think the Packers typically get 4 to 4.5 at home, and the Seahawks last year bring 5.5 at home. But other than that, 3 to 3.5 is kind of just what Vegas gives the home team as home field advantage. And so when you see a home game, a home team favored by 3 points, it's based. What that means is essentially a pick 'em on a neutral field. And I sort of developed, as I went through and tried to figure out why my picks were successful and why, you know, were there certain teams that were tripping me up more than others and all that kind of stuff, I sort of developed a philosophy for games like this. And it's just bad teams, home team. If you got two bad teams, just take the home team, unless you've got a really good reason to think otherwise, you know, an injured quarterback or something like that. Because you can go crazy trying to figure it out. It's so much more difficult to pick a game between two bad teams than it is to pick a game between two good teams, because good teams are generally consistent. Bad teams aren't. And inconsistency is what makes predicting difficult. So, you know, one of the largest factors, the most indicative factors in, you know, who wins a football game is who's playing at home. And so when in doubt, if there's bad teams, take the home team. It happens to be the Jets in this one, but I really don't like either of them.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't really say anything different. I think that's like the same philosophy that I had that I kind of developed last year. And I talked to Davis about this. I talked to you about this. Davis too, for people listening, and he's good at picking games as well. It's the exact same thing. It's like, you know, one, the line is, you know, it's there for a reason. It's a good barometer. And go against it if you just have a gut feeling or you just think it's wrong or if you think it's based on whatever factor. But the home team, yeah, exactly. Two bad teams, pick the home team. I went with the Jets here. I also think that I like Ryan Fitzgerald. Sorry, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is it fine? No, is it Ryan Fitzgerald or Patrick? Now I'm like, it's Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick.
I like him more than I like McCown. And I am a strong believer in I'm not a strong believer in QB wins, but with all, like, everything else being relatively equal, which I think, you know, I think the Browns have a good defense and the Jets have a good defense. I think that you go with the better quarterback. And I think in this sense, I like him a little bit more. They're both kind of journeyman whatevers, but I guess that's why this is a pick 'em. So long story short, picking the Jets. Let's move down the line. This one is the Colts at Bills, which I think is a really interesting game. And I'll be looking forward to watching that game, hopefully, on my NFL ticket. But what do you got in this one? Because right now the line is the Colts are favored by 2.5.
I want more than anything to pick Buffalo in this game. I do. I really, really like Buffalo this year. I think that they have one of the two best defenses in the NFL. I think that they've got some real playmakers on offense in McCoy, if when he's healthy, Sammy Watkins. I think this is a team that's going to win more games this year than their fans are accustomed to seeing. And with it, normally, if this was at home, I would pick Buffalo, knowing what we do about the two teams. But you know, the advantage, Indianapolis doesn't really project to be a very good cold weather team. They never have been. And if this game was in November or December, I'm taking Buffalo. But I just don't think that's going to matter much. I think Buffalo going with – I just think the gap in quarterback play is going to be too big.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Luck versus Tyrod Taylor. I mean, we're talking about one of the two or three best against the least proven.
Right. And we don't know anything about him.
Yeah. And so we just – that would be a thing to overcome. The Colts obviously believe they're knocking on the door. They've had a couple of really good seasons, three really good seasons, where they're just not quite there yet. They were a game away from the Super Bowl last year, and you could see that they went all in on some guys trying to find that ring, a couple of all pros, Frank Gore and Andre Johnson. I mean, they're looking to do this thing this year, and I think they start with a win.
Okay. This is our first. This is the first pick that we differ on because I actually went with the Bills in this one.
I applaud you.
It was a little bit. This was one of the ones that I, you know, as I'm going through and filling them out, I skipped it and I kind of came back to it. And I'm like, you know, because you got to really put some thought into it. It basically came down to one. I seem to have this like never ending bias against the Colts for some reason. Like I just don't think they're as good as they are. And they always end up being better than I think they are. But for some reason, they just, like, I tend to pick against them. I do the power rankings every week for SB Nation. And Indianapolis fans, I think, really hate me. But I just like the Bills a lot this year. I think they're really interesting. I think they're going to be better than people are expecting. I think they're going to surprise people. Last year, you know, they finished, I want to say, 9-7. Yeah, 9-7. They were knocking on the door for the playoffs for the first time in forever. And that was, you know, I think a worse situation for them last year than it is now. I think they're better this year. I think, like you said, they got Watkins, Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin. He's a speedster. Percy Harvin. And I think Charles Clay is going to be an X factor for them. And I think Tyrod Taylor kind of gives them an added you know, the whole Russell Wilson thing where he can do things with his legs and they can probably run, you know, some pretty interesting things with with you know, all their different weapons and using him as a bootleg and things like that. So long story short, I'm going with the Bills on this one. I think it's going to be close. I think the Colts, you know, obviously they're going to be really good on offense. I still don't really know about their defense. So that was pretty much my reasoning. I think the Bills are, it's a good matchup for them. I think, you know, their defense is really good. Their secondary is really good. And they can get after the passers, so they could cause some problems for the Colts, and they're going to be at home. So I think the final factor to me was that it was in Buffalo. I think I would have picked the Colts if it was in Indianapolis for this one, but going with the home team here.
I'll agree that this was one of the toughest, if not the toughest game for me to pick. It's fun. I circled back to it two or three times.
Yeah. Well, move down the line. This one's going to be funny, because I accidentally picked the wrong team on this, but I'm just going to assume the pick that I went with and run with it. We're talking Dolphins at Washington. Right now the Dolphins are favored by 3.5. Who do you have in this one? I think I know the answer.
Yeah, I've got Miami. They are favored on the road. I really like Miami this year as kind of – you know, kind of one of those final eight teams. I think they can make it out of the first round of the playoffs with the type of talent that they've accumulated. I really buy Ryan Tannehill. I think he's kind of gotten lost in the conversation that surrounds so many of the other quarterbacks that came out at the same time he did, but he's just kind of quietly gotten better. His teammates seem to just absolutely love him, talk about command of the offense. He's a guy who can make every throw. I think this year he comes into his own. I love who he has to throw to. They added Jordan Cameron. Jarvis Landry came on as a seriously dangerous possession receiver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, added in Ndamukong Suh to an already pretty decent defense that can transform things. If you've heard me on podcasts, read my articles before, you know I'm a big believer that pressure up the middle of pocket is maybe the single – most advantageous thing a defense can do, and no one's better at it than Ndamukong Suh. So
yep.
I think that they're going to be very, very good this year. And I think that the Redskins are the biggest joke of a professional franchise in American sports.
And that's a good segue to me picking them.
Take it away, Danny.
On accident. So I locked it. I'm going to go ahead and go with the same picks that I picked for SB Nation. I do an SB Nation, you know, we just do pick them every week, some of the SB Nation writers. And so I was alerted to the fact that I picked Washington, even though I'm pretty sure I did not mean to do that. But I'm going to run with it. And, you know, maybe this will be one of those ones that, you know, is a happy surprise. I agree. I don't think they're going to win. I like some of the moves that, Scott McLaughlin has made in terms of, you know, beefing up their defense and kind of getting in some you know, they got Stephen Paya, yep. You know, Terrence Knighton, and then they already had a couple of really strong pass rushing type guys, Ryan Kerrigan, and then they went and got Preston Smith in the draft, who I liked a lot. So I like a lot of the things they've done on defense. I just think their offense right now is probably too much of a dumpster fire to really do much. But hey, I picked them, so let's see what they can do.
Hey, if you want to win your office pool, you gotta get lucky once or twice a week.
Yeah, even if you don't mean to. Moving down the line, let's go to the Panthers at Jaguars. Who did you have in this one?
You know, I, being a Seahawks fan and seeing Gus Bradley and you know, seeing coaches and players heading from Seattle to Jacksonville makes me want to believe that there's something happening there. I just don't know that there is. And I think that Carolina is not going to be very good. I think losing Kelvin Benjamin hurts a lot. They weren't good last year. I don't see ways in which they've gotten better. I could see them being a 6-win team this year. Even though I like Cam Newton and I really like Jonathan Stewart, Cam's got no one to throw to. I want to take Jacksonville, but I can't. I just think Jacksonville's really, really bad. And I think they're too bad to overcome the bad team's home team. If you take Jacksonville because it's – and some people are going to say they don't think Carolina's a bad team, and that's fine. I understand the argument. I don't think they'll be very good. But if you want to take Jacksonville because you think it's two bad teams and you want to follow the mantra of taking the home bad team, I wouldn't blame you at all. That said, I just think that Carolina knows what they're doing more than Jacksonville does. Carolina still boasts a team of a lot of guys who've been playing together for 3 or 4 years now, and that matters early in the season a lot, I think. And so I've got Carolina going into Jacksonville and winning, beating their expansion brother.
Yep. I have Carolina as well. You know, I think Jacksonville is going in the right direction, and, you know, they've got some talent there, and Bortles has the potential to be good, you know, down the line and potentially right away. But we saw last year after he had a really strong preseason, he kind of came out and was ridiculously terrible. So I still don't, you know, I'm still not buying necessarily on him. So I think, you know, it comes down to, I think, the quarterback play. And I also think that the defense on Carolina is just a lot better than Jacksonville's. So I pick Carolina's as well. I pick Carolina as well. On the road, but it should be an interesting one. I actually kind of am looking forward to seeing what happens in that game, even though it's probably going to be like 12-8 or something like that, you know. But yeah, that'll be an interesting one to watch. Moving down the line, this one should be really good. It's the Saints at Cardinals. Obviously, the Seahawks fans will have interest in this one, trying to see the Saints knock off a division rival. Who do you got in here?
I am taking Arizona. I think New Orleans is still a team that when things click, they can beat almost anybody. They just clicking with much consistency the last season and a half. And a lot of that just has to do with how poor their defense has been. But they've been investing in it. I do think they'll be better this year. I think that their offense took a huge hit, obviously, with the loss of Jimmy Graham. But I think there are other weapons in place there. I think Brandon Cooks is going to be a star in this league. I love their running backs. I think they've got probably the most talented top-to-bottom running back depth chart in the NFL. And that matters, especially when you go on the road. So if things click, and they very well might, I could see the Saints winning this game. But I do think Arizona is a good team when Carson Palmer is healthy. I really do. I think they did fluke some wins last year with their backups, but Carson Palmer is really good. And, you know, he's underrated as an NFL quarterback, and he's got weapons around him. You know, Fitzgerald still put a, you know, he had a down year last year, but when you look at his splits with Carson Palmer versus without, I mean, he was, in terms of fantasy production, he was a solid wide receiver too when Carson Palmer was in there. So I still think he can produce. They've got Michael Floyd. They've got Andre Ellington. There's some things there to like a lot, and I do still think that defense is pretty good. But, you know, ultimately, I think that them being healthy is the difference, and seeing more or less the Cardinals that we saw at the beginning of last year, I think Arizona takes this one.
Yeah, I picked Arizona as well. I think you know, as much as you don't want to like a team, I like Arizona just because I like how they're really, really aggressive. They attack downfield with their passing game. You know, Carson Palmer probably loves playing in this offense because he gets to chuck it. So, like,
it's really cool, man. It just it's like they take their shot at just stealing touchdowns from you instead of needing 12 plays and 4 first downs to get a touchdown. They're not afraid to take a shot at just stealing one.
Yeah. And so I like them for that reason, and I think their defense is still going to be strong. You know, I think losing Bowles is going to be interesting, you know, because I think it was more of his defense than, you know, I think Arizona fans could probably say the same thing about the Seahawks, like, oh, you guys lost your defensive coordinator too. But it's like at the same time, this is Pete Carroll's defense. Like, every defensive coordinator that comes here is just a steward. Whereas I think – Bowles really installed his defense there last year, and it kind of took on his identity. I wonder, I mean, I don't know, maybe Arians will come in and basically do the same thing. That's definitely possible. But I think you know, there's a reason Bowles got a head coaching job, based on kind of his balls to the wall style and all that. So that'll be really interesting to see what kind of happens with their defense. And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch because Drew Brees is one of the best at, you know, kind of making tough throws, staring down a gun barrel. So he's going to face a lot of pressure, but he can also make him pay. So it's going to be a fun game. I picked the Cardinals on this one, mostly just because it's in Arizona. But I think it's going to be a really fun one. Let's move down to the Lions at Chargers, another strong matchup. There's a lot of really good matchups this week. I don't know if it's maybe just the NFL in general is really awesome, but seems to be some interesting games. Who do you have with this one?
Yeah, there are a lot of games that are really difficult to pick in week one. And I think that has to do with NFL's large middle class this year. I think there's fewer great teams and fewer awful teams than the league has seen in a while. I think there's 20 to 25 really competent teams. And that makes for tough picking, especially early in the season.
No doubt.
This is one of them. Two teams with kind of different identities last year and pretty similar success. The Chargers were a very efficient offensive team, as Seahawks fans saw in September of last year. But they were a poor defensive team. Detroit was actually, for all the yards they get, they're not really a very good offensive team. They get a lot of yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's volume from an efficiency standpoint, from a putting your team in a position to win standpoint. They haven't been very good, but their defense was excellent last year. And then they were atrocious in special teams, but a lot of that had to do with their kicker missing like five of his first nine field goals or something.
Right.
I mean, crazier. Five of his first six. It was just bizarre. Anyway, I think they missed their first six or seven kicks from beyond 40 yards last year. With
Didn't
like
they bring in someone new? Yeah. They brought in someone new and he missed his too.
Yeah, really, really bizarre thing. So I don't really read into that a whole lot. No. I'd like a lot of players on both of these teams. This is another one where it's the home team favored by three, so essentially a pick 'em on a neutral field. I actually like Detroit better this year than I do the Chargers, but I have the Chargers winning mostly because it's a home game. They're a very good hot weather team. I mean, they put the Seahawks in the sauna last year. And Seahawks tapped out, you know, the only team to beat Seattle by more than a touchdown in four seasons. They're good when it's hot. And so I've got them winning this one.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was looking up the weather in San Diego. Right now it's 93 degrees.
There you go.
It's not supposed to be that hot later this week. On Sunday, it's supposed to be 82, but you know how those things can change. And then again, on the field, it's like 10 or 15 degrees hotter. So it's going to be fucking hot. I picked San Diego on this one, and it was a very tough decision. That was one of the maybe three or four games I was just really not sure on. Because I like both teams a lot. I think losing Sue is going to be an interesting one for Detroit, but obviously they got they got Nada in there, and so that could potentially, you know, sort of pick up some of the slack. But as you were talking about Miami, you know, that was kind of one of the things that made Detroit so strong last year, is they could get him pushing the pocket on almost every play. And I don't know if they can do that this year. So that's going to be kind of a big deal to watch. Can they stop the run as well as they did last year? They were like a ridiculously good run defense last year. I think they're one of the best in terms of yards per carry in like the last decade. So, but on the other hand, I'm a huge believer in El Bolo, freaking Philip Rivers. I think he is one of the most underrated players in the NFL.
That guy's body language tells such a different story than his play does.
Yeah. I mean, he's like one of my favorite players just because he's such a weirdo. And he makes funny faces and he's talked shit to other quarterbacks. And I mean, like his feud with Jay Cutler was an all timer.
That's great. I would watch a 30 for 30 on that.
Yeah. And he's just like a petulant child, but at the same time, he's very poised. And, you know, he's like probably the best pocket passer in terms of if there's like 12 guys around him, he can still somehow manage to throw the damn ball and know where he's going with it. So I really like Rivers, and that was part of the reason I picked them. I think they're a really, really good first half team. And maybe that's partly due to the Heat. Maybe I don't know what it is, but they always seem to start out really fast before kind of fading in the second half. So I think they're going to be strong to start again. The one variable they have to look out for is they're without, their all world tight end Antonio Gates for the first couple games. So that could be a factor. And it sounds like their backup tight end too also has a concussion or something like that, but Darius Green. So yeah, that's another thing to watch. But again, really tight game. I think picking this one was tough. I kind of just went with my gut and the home team. And the weather factored into my decision as well. I think it's going to be hot and shitty for the Lions, especially because they play in a dome in Detroit. So moving down, we're almost done with the list of games this week. We got the Bengals at the Raiders. And who do you got on this one?
I'm sorry, say that again. You got Titans.
No, we got the next game on the list. Sorry, you're right. Actually, I did skip one. Let's go Titans at Buccaneers.
Okay, cool. Sorry, cut out there for
– No worries.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. I mean, I don't know when the last time, if ever, the first two players in a draft faced each other week one. This is game's going to be a lot more about Jameis Winston versus Marcus Mariota than it will be about the Bucs and the Titans. Neither of these teams are doing anything this year, so this is going to be kind of a little opportunity to see who's more ready. I like both players. I do like Mariota a little bit more. I just don't know who he's going to give the ball to. I think Jameis Winston's in a much better situation. He's got a worse line, I think, in front of him, but he's got options. Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans are great receivers to have if you're a young quarterback with spotty accuracy. They give you a large margin for error. I think Doug Martin bounces back this year and has a really nice season. Austin Seferian-Jenkins is a really big player, and that's what young guys need. I mean, you don't come into the league pinpoint accurate. You need guys that can body up and win a 50-50 ball, and they've got that. Tennessee is such a blah team to me this year. I like Mariota, and I hope they can build around him, but I mean, who's he going to give the ball to?
Yeah.
So this game is another 3-point home team favorite, which means, again, it's just a pick 'em on a neutral field. These are two really bad teams, so I'm taking the home team, and it's just Tampa Bay on principle.
Yeah, I went with Tampa Bay as well. When you talk about who is he going to throw to, obviously he's got Kendall Wright, who's a strong receiver, possession receiver, and then he's got a veteran in Harry Douglas, who, you know, he's good, but he's kind of just a veteran receiver, maybe replacement level or so, maybe a little bit above that. But and then past that, they actually only kept four receivers, which is a little bit odd. They have Justin Hunter, who has really underwhelmed in terms of what they were hoping from him, and then the rookie in Darrell Green Beckham, who has a high ceiling, but you know, this is gonna be his first NFL game, can't really expect a whole lot from him. So I agree with you. I think the Titans are just kind of blah. The Tampa Bay just has more upside to me right now, and that's kind of the reason I went with them. I think also being at home will help. And yeah, I mean, it just goes to show, it's like this is a 3-point spread, and it's taking Tampa Bay at home. You know, you get 3 points to the home team. It's kind of just a pick 'em. So it'll be fun to watch, though, just because of that.
Yeah, whole totally. I'll have one eye on that game for sure.
Yeah. And I agree with you about Doug Martin. It'll be kind of interesting to see if he can bounce back this year. He obviously looked pretty good in the preseason. So moving on to the Bengals at Raiders. This game actually has a little bit closer line than I was expecting, although it is because it's at Oakland. It's they've got the Bengals favored by 3.5. What do you think on that one?
Yeah, I'm taking Cincinnati just because it's a good team versus a bad team. But I do think Oakland is headed in the right direction. I think they're headed up towards the middle of the pack, and I don't know that Cincinnati, for as long as they have Andy Dalton, is ever going to be better than they've been in the last couple of years. I think that's a top to bottom roster that can compete for a Super Bowl, except for the guy they pay the most money to. And they're kind of in that coin flip position when it was time to re-up him, where you kind of know what you have in Andy Dalton. You have the definition of a league average quarterback, but you know, you say, are we grateful that we've got one of the top 15, 16 quarterbacks and we lock him up, or do we roll the dice on this kind of window to make a run with someone new? And they chose to stick it out. And I just think that gives them a lower ceiling than they would otherwise have. Not crazy about the Bengals just because of that, but I do like them to win in Oakland. Oakland will get better this year. I like Derek Carr. I think Amari Cooper is going to be an NFL ready receiver from the get, but I just don't think they have the firepower to overcome the depth and talent advantage that Cincinnati has.
Yeah, I agree. I'm bullish on Oakland as well, but at this point, you know, I don't think they're there yet. I think as the year goes on, they're going to kind of surprise some people and probably give people some trouble. But I don't think in week one it's going to happen. So I'm going with the Bengals. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on that game because I pretty much agree with what you said. Let's go to another really good-looking game, the Ravens at Broncos in Denver. What do you have on that one?
Man, I like Baltimore a lot. I think that just as a franchise, I think they're kind of a model. I think that they are unafraid to reinvent themselves as they see fit. They're the type of franchise that's never going to be down for long. I admire a lot about the way they do things. And I really wanted to pick them. They finished as the number 5 team in DVOA last year, believe it or not.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But Denver was number 2. And it all comes down to which Peyton Manning is it, you know, Peyton Manning of the last month and a half of last season. But loose animal just got in the house.
No worries.
If it's the Peyton Manning that we've seen for most of his career, I think Denver is the better team by quite a margin. If it's the Peyton Manning from the end of last season, I do think Baltimore wins this game. I could spend a lot of time talking about how good these two teams are and why, but for the sake of streamlining this, because I'm super interested to hear what you have to say on this game, I am taking Denver because I'm anticipating that Peyton Manning, you know, that it was a quad issue last year and that's better. So I'm taking Denver, but that's a really tough one.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm more bullish on the Broncos than everyone else is, or if maybe that's kind of the consensus, but I really like the Broncos. I think they're more than just Peyton Manning. I think that they have a really good defense. They have a really good secondary. Yep. Chris Harris and Aqib Talib are two of the best corners in the NFL. I think Jimmy Ward is a good safety, although he'll be suspended for one game to start out, so that could be a factor. But their pass rush is just ridiculous as well. So, I mean, as the Seahawks saw, Von Miller, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, DeMarcus Ware, you know, he's obviously a little older now, but I think he's still really good. And then they've got some interior guys who are strong pass rushers. They've got a good, Will linebacker and Brandon Marshall. I think they're really solid on defense, and I like some of the moves that the old Elway horse guy has made. So
think about that roster. I mean, maybe only Seattle, and I don't even think Seattle can boast as many guys who are at the top 3 or 4 at their position that Denver can.
Yeah.
They have so many good receivers. They have a couple of really talented running backs. Their quarterback is excellent. They've got great pass rushers, good linebackers, exceptional corners. I mean, it is a complete team, no doubt.
And CJ Anderson looks like a really good running back as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously the big question is, Julius Thomas, can he be replaced? He was a huge part of that offense last year. I think Virgil Green, you know, has a good shot of kind of emerging as that. I think Peyton Manning tends to make tight ends look really good. You know, obviously the Dallas Clark era in Indianapolis, that was kind of like, you know, the perfect example. But, you know, Virgil Green, super athletic, you know, depends on kind of like what he can do in routes and stuff. But he's experienced enough in the offense. He knows it. And so I think that could be kind of one of those guys that emerges this year as better than we think he is. I think Emmanuel Sanders is really good. And then obviously Demaryius Thomas is one of the top receivers in the NFL. I think, you know, it depends on kind of what Cody Latimer does this year. He didn't really do anything last year, but, you know.
Emmanuel Sanders can ball out, though.
Oh, yeah. That guy is good.
He's really good.
So I like this team. I think the one question is the offensive line. Well, not the one question. There's two questions. The offensive line is one question.
Yeah, they had some bad luck this offseason.
Yeah. The other question is obviously Peyton Manning's arm and whether he is the same guy from the end of the year or the beginning of the year. And, you know, I don't think anyone really knows at this point yet. So I'm sticking with the Broncos as, you know, one of the NFL's top teams. I think I had them two or three in my power rankings, and that's kind of assuming Peyton Manning's not done. But that could change quickly if we sort of see quickly, you know, that he's not the same guy. But for now, he is in my mind, and so I'm going with the Broncos. And moving down to the final game on Sunday, we got another pretty good game, the Giants at Cowboys. You know, I think this is one that could kind of foretell how the season's going to go for both of these teams. Who do you pick in this game?
I've got Dallas. They're a 6-point favorite at home. I think they're the better team for sure. This is too much offensive talent against what purports to be a bad defense. I think that the Giants kind of represent the last dying breath of the previous generation of the NFL. I don't think they're built to win in the modern game. And it's crazy. It's things where it's like, you know, they always talk about injuries being random, right? So many of these are all highly tuned athletes, yada, yada. Well, there's one team that doesn't invest resources in their training program. This is the Giants. They don't, you know, players talk about going there and it being like high school again. And go figure, they've lost more games to injury in both of the last 2 years, not combined, but each individual year. Yeah. And the chances, if injuries were as random as we all say they are, and I do think they are pretty random, it just wouldn't happen. But that correlation is there. I don't think they're a team that's built to win. And they've got some really exciting players. I still like Eli Manning. I think Rashad Jennings can be very good. I like the addition of Shane Vereen. And obviously, Odell Beckham is excellent. But, I mean, he's a superstar and a deserving one. But I just, top to bottom, it's not a very good team. Dallas might have the best offensive line in the NFL. Might be the best receiver in the NFL, and they have last year's highest rated quarterback. So I do see them winning this game. But when you have two teams that know each other as well as they do and two coaches that know each other as well as they do, that can help mitigate some of the talent differential. All that being said, I do have Dallas winning.
Yeah, and I agree. I have Dallas winning as well. I'm not sure if anyone in the world is picking the Giants at this point, but I think the Giants are going to be an interesting team to watch because, like you said, they've got so much offensive talent. And Eli is always kind of a big question mark. You know, he can either be extremely good or just suck. So, you know, if you get the Eli who is like just nails and passing, you know, dimes down the sideline, then, you know, that kind of changes things. But I think right now I'm with you. The Cowboys just look like a better pick at this point, and I'm going with them. Let's move to the Monday night games, get through these, and then we'll wrap it up. This is going to be an interesting game to me and for Seahawks fans in general, you know, Northwest fans in general. It's going to be the Eagles at Falcons. Obviously, got Chip Kelly, who is still of an interest to Northwesterners and, you know, just people who like kind of innovative style coaches. And then obviously you've got Dan Quinn in Atlanta, the former Seahawks defensive coordinator, took over for a team that ended up being bad last year, but they almost made the playoffs, but one of the worst defenses in the NFL, but they've also got some pieces in there to kind of like really bounce back this year. I actually picked the Falcons to win the division. What do you think of this game? The Eagles are actually favored on the road by 3. What do you think?
Yeah, I could very easily see Atlanta winning this game. I just, I like them. I like them as a team. I think their defense is getting better. I think that they've invested a lot of resources in making that defense better. They have some pretty obvious offensive talent as well. But I think the Eagles will be one of the three or four best teams in the NFL this year. I could do a whole podcast on Chip Kelly. I think he's like a neo Bill Belichick in just the way that he is always looking to advance his roster ahead of his opponent and is willing to change and willing to adapt and willing to say, why is no one else doing this? And then also just the way he treats his players like nameless commodities. I think he's really built to change the NFL. I honestly believe that. And I think it'll be obvious in this game. I don't think it's a fluke that they annihilated everyone in the preseason. I don't think it's a fluke that Sam Bradford was the most accurate quarterback in the preseason. I think that is an offense that is designed to make everyone successful. His offense creates so much room to operate for so many different guys at the same time. Their front seven is good. Really, the weakest part of their team last year was their defensive back play, and they added Byron Maxwell and Walter Thurman. And most of the listeners of this show know that that's going to be a significant upgrade for them, and they look sensational in the preseason. I think the Eagles are the biggest threat to the Seahawks in the NFC. I think they win this game. I think they cover the spread. I'm all in with Philly.
Yeah, I picked the Eagles as well. I think, you know, looking over at some of the SB Nation guys' picks, this was kind of one of those ones that went half and half. But yeah, I think I agree with you. I think, you know, you try not to take too many conclusions from the preseason, but the way that Sam Bradford looked in that offense is kind of scary, frankly. And I have always been kind of like, I like Bradford a lot. I think he's really talented. His problem is staying healthy. And so if that's the X factor this year, like if he can stay healthy, I think they could be really, really good. So I went with the Eagles in this one. I'm excited to watch the Falcons just because the connections to Seattle. And I also think, you know, he's kind of inherited a good team there. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, some interesting pieces on defense. But in this game, you know, I just don't know if they're going to be quite ready to hit the ground running there. So let's move to the final game on the docket. The Vikings at Niners, which is another really interesting game to me. The line is actually pretty interesting as well. They have the Vikings favored by 2.5 in San Francisco. Obviously, we kind of saw that San Francisco's home field advantage evaporated when they moved to Levi Field. And their entire team has been in upheaval. Who'd you pick in this game, and what was your rationale for that?
I like Minnesota's prospects over the next 2 to 3 years. I like Bridgewater. I like the young talent they're putting around him. Adrian Peterson's still probably the best running back on the planet. They're putting a lot of talent on defense too. I really like the direction Minnesota's going. San Francisco obviously very precipitously has gone in the opposite direction, and I could see Kaepernick winning this game. I could, but I don't. And I'm taking Minnesota on the road in San Francisco, which would have seemed laughable as recently as 12 months ago. But here we are.
So I picked the Niners in this game, actually. This is another one of the ones that we disagreed on. Sorry, let me double check. You picked the Vikings, right?
Yep, I'm taking Minnesota.
I zoned out for a second there. Yeah.
I was dreaming.
I picked the Niners. I think I'm probably in the minority on this one, of course, but you know, until they really bomb, I'm gonna kind of, you know, the whole like the reports of my demise are wildly what is it called?
Wildly exaggerated.
Right. I'm still kind of on that. I think, you know, they still have a good amount of talent on their team. I think that they could be like kind of the whole like backed in the corner, like they're more dangerous now because everyone basically thinks they suck. Obviously there's a lot of concerns with what they've lost. So, you know, this one was a really tough one for me, but for some reason I just went with it. It was kind of one of those gut things. I'm still thinking, you know, Teddy's still, you know, he's a young guy, second year guy. The Vikings I agree with you. They're on their way up, and I think they're going to be a good team going forward. But I just, for some reason, I just felt like the Niners are going to kind of surprise some people in this one. And so I went with the Niners, and, you know, looking over the picks for SB Nation, I was one of two people to do that. So I think the popular pick right now is the Vikings, but we'll see what happens. That's going to be a game I'm really looking forward to watching. We've got a few minutes here to go through some against the spread picks. I think for today, let's just go with yours, since we're about 15 minutes over the time that we kind of made it a goal to be. And then next week we can kind of fill it out. But what were the three games that against the spread that you kind of were looking at?
Yeah, one of the things that we're going to do this year is give you three games at least each week where if you do want to bet against the spread, and that's basically for if you're new to picking against the spread, it's the Vegas line, and you can pick what side of that line teams will fall on. So, for example, my first team that I'm picking to cover the spread is Pittsburgh. They are picked to lose by 7. I still think they'll lose, but I think it'll be by less than 7. So I have Pittsburgh covering the spread. The other team that I've got cover, or one of the other teams I've got covering, are the Dolphins. Again, at Washington, probably fairly rare for me to pick two road covers in the same week, but I'm doing it. And actually, I'm picking all three road covers this week because I have the Eagles winning by more than a field goal in Atlanta, just the way I see it going. So I don't recommend betting against the spread on every game. That's a quick way to drive yourself insane. But I do think that every week there are three or four games that are worth letting the money ride on betting the Vegas line. And those are my three.
Okay, so I'll just throw mine in as well because that was pretty quick. I also picked Pittsburgh to cover the spread in New England. I think the line just looks a little bit big to me in terms of it's right now it's at negatives or it's at 7. So that kind of just felt like a little much. I think it's gonna be a close game. I think the other game that I looked at was KC and Houston, and you know, since I'm picking the Chiefs to win that, I thought that was an interesting that Houston was favored still in this one. So that was the other game.
That would obviously be my fourth since I picked KC to win and they are the underdog in that one.
Yeah. So those are the two that I had closest in mind, and the third would have been San Francisco beating you know, the spread in Minnesota, but you know, obviously that one was kind of my underdog pick. So that's what I got.
Very good. And if you want to play against Danny and I, you can join the Field Goals-Deep Balls Pick'em group on ESPN, and you'll get to see our picks every week and see how you stack up. So we're not just giving these picks in a vacuum. We are going to put them up there for public scrutiny, and hopefully we can redouble some of the success we've had in the past. So definitely join that before kickoff tomorrow evening.
Yeah, play along. We've got – looks like 20-something people in it already. It's the group ID. I'll put a link to this on the page, but if you're listening on iTunes, the group ID is 84854, and it's called Field Goals : Deep Balls. So, so that's going to be fun. We're going to have that'll kind of add an extra element to this podcast. You know, hopefully you guys enjoyed kind of just hearing us talk through each game. Potentially, just even if you're not betting, it kind of just gives you a way of looking forward to the weekend and kind of just seeing the matchups. And so, let us know in the comments if you have any suggestions or anything like that for us. And as we said kind of at the beginning, this is kind of an organic thing. We're just figuring it out. If you guys have any, if anybody has a good idea of what they want to do, we can definitely consider it and kind of add it in. So at this point, I guess we'll just wrap it up and, you know, talk to you guys next week. And in the meantime, good luck with your office pools. And if you're betting, obviously, against the spread, then good luck with that. Signing off for Jackson. Any last words?
Nope. Thanks for tuning into Deep Balls.
Definitely. So we'll talk to you guys next week. And in the meantime, go Hawks.